Right, I'll ask Ben if you'd like to come, please, and read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for water. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we might make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
From Acts chapter 2, please. Thank you.
So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
In Acts chapter 2, And verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And I think I was not really aware quite of how important those words were and how significant they were. If we go to Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 15 and 16, we read there about the first Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost. Harvest was over. The first fruits of the harvest have been brought to God. They had the wave offering. And then we read that for seven Sabbaths after that, and one more day, it came to the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost was a time of thanksgiving, of being conscious of what God had commanded in the past. And so, when we turn over to the New Testament, they were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. When it was coming, when it was fully come, it says, they were all with one accord in one place. As we look later on in the chapter, we will realize that that's why there were so many people there. But I like the fact that in the Bible, there's so many little things that come together. The Word of God is complete. We read in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, about the Tower of Babel and how man sought to elevate himself. And I guess the Tower of Babel is nothing like the height of some of the towers that we read of in the world today. And everybody seems to be trying to get taller and taller buildings to boast that they're got the tallest building in the world. When God saw the people building the Tower of Babel, he caused them to stop understanding one another, so that they could build this tower. He caused confusion in their languages, such that they just didn't know what was going on. They couldn't understand one another. They couldn't work together. The building stopped. But I like the fact that the Bible also brings things together. And so we read in this chapter of people of different places coming together for the Feast of Pentecost and hearing the disciples speaking in their own language. Some people are good at languages. I was a miserable failure. I had extra tuition to try and get me to pass Latin, and it was a very knowledgeable man in the area, and he failed, and it was the first person I think he'd ever failed at, but that happened. And then, just to show how bad I was at languages, I was one of the few people to ever get into Reading University without a language. The only language I knew probably at that stage was Somerset, and that was where we were. But these were ignorant men, according to the scriptures, and yet they were able to share the good news of the gospel with all those there from different languages. The reality is that God split apart at the Tower of Babel, but he brought it together at Pentecost. And there are other things like that in the Bible that I find fascinating. The fact that in the Garden of Eden, there were thorns. And yet, it was on the Lord Jesus' head that there was a crown of thorns when he died to save us. From separation because of disobedience to obedience even to the death on the cross that drew us back to God. So we read in chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost. Suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and they filled all the house where they were sitting. There were tongues as of fire sitting upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, when he baptized, in the flesh, if you like. Jesus, when he baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I find it difficult to understand the different aspects of the Trinity. We have an awful lot of recognition of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Christian church doesn't seem to recognize the arrival of the Holy Spirit in quite the same way. There's obviously good reason for that, but people can catch on to different things. And sometimes we find the balance of the Trinity is the pendulum swings from one way to another. In other words, sometimes it's a focus on the Father. Sometimes it's a focus on the Lord Jesus. And sometimes it's a focus on the Spirit. I like to think of the Trinity, as I've probably told you before, like one of the helicopters that used to go around North Devon. You know, because each afternoon, a helicopter would depart from Chivener in North Devon and tour around the coast just to make sure that there weren't people in difficulties and all the rest of it. And it had a team of three. It had a pilot, it had a winchman, and it had a navigator. And that helps me to realize a little bit what the Trinity is like. I think of God the Father as the pilot in control of the aircraft. He's the one who's in charge. I think of the winchman as the Lord Jesus. He's the one that has to go down to do the rescue. I remember a long time ago, there was a tanker called the Torrey Canyon that was full of oil, and it was off the Cornish coast, and it was in the news for days and days. And in the end, the pilot the rescue team went down and collected the crew. But at one stage, the winchmen, because there were so many crew, had to stay on the board the boat, risking his own life. Jesus didn't only risk his life, he gave his life deliberately in order that we might be free from sin. And in the back of the helicopter, there was a man who was quietly guiding the Holy Spirit, Comforter. He was there to guide. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is doing for us today, living in us quietly in the background, if you like, but guiding us and prompting us in the way we should go. What happened to the people that were at Jerusalem for the Pentecost? They couldn't believe what they were hearing. Today, we have big meetings where you see people with earphones and people translating for you. This was none of that. There were no earphones. There was no technology. This was God at work. And God was able to allow all those people from different places who had come up for the Feast of Pentecost to hear in their own language. What happened? They were blessed. Some doubted. Some mocked. Some said these men were full of new wine. And Peter stood up and declared the truths of God. He referred to the prophet Joel. He brought back into Scripture. And it's good, isn't it? Because Jesus often reminds us of Old Testament Scriptures. There are those today who would like to reject the Old Testament. They'd like to reject a lot of Scripture. And yet, Jesus uses Old Testament Scripture to encourage people. And especially when he was talking to the Jews who would have known their Old Testaments, probably far better than you or I do. But, you know, he referred to Joel. And then he pointed out that God was going to bless. He was going to work through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was never going to leave us or forsake us. Jesus promised in John 14 that he would send a Comforter to be with us forever. And what do we read at the end of the passage that we read? And it should come to pass. This is what Peter said. It should come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Because all those who trust in Jesus do receive the Holy Spirit at that time. There's all sorts of controversy about further bits of the Holy Spirit and whether you get a bit more or whatever else and all that sort of thing. But the truth is that once we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have the Holy Spirit within us. I'm asking, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you conscious of the Holy Spirit working within you? Pentecost was a time of rejoicing, of excitement, and the rest of it. Do you get excited about Scripture? You know, let's rejoice in the wonders that we read within it. I'm not a very good expounder of Scripture, I realise that. But I do trust it. I do enjoy it. It is my guidebook for life. I trust it's yours as well.